Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 797, Sundara. It's a common word in Indian languages up to the present time. It simply means beautiful. What a beautiful name. Before I even attempt to speak on this, I must offer, with all the humility at my command, my obeisances unto the lotus feet of my eternal spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and beg from him the mercy to speak on this subject, because without his mercy, myself coming from a actually very nasty background, in the sense that so many evil desires in the heart, but by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by the mercy of his devotees, I was allowed to become his disciple and was able to learn something about the transcendental qualities of the inconceivably great Supreme Personality of Godhead. So without Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I can't even begin to think of such topics. What to mention speaking anything about them. So it's very good for us all to remember that we're completely dependent on the mercy of the great acharyas who have preceded us, who are our shelter, and who wanted to spread the glories of Krishna all over the world. So I'm very fortunate to be one among many who are engaged in that activity of attempting to broadcast the glories of Krishna throughout the world. So Sundara means beautiful. And there are many names in Vishnu Sahasranama which indicate this. Shvanga, Suanga, has very nice body or bodily part. Shubhanga, similarly, or whose body or bodily parts are all auspicious. Varanga, whose body or bodily parts are all glorious, magnificent, the best. There are names like Sulochana, of having very beautiful eyes, but it's all summed up in the name Sundara. Previous to this, we had just now, the previous name was Udbhava, which has several meanings. God, the Creator, who lives on high and takes divine birth in this world and lives among us. And we think, he takes birth in this world? God, what does he look like? There's so much to say about what he looks like, but it's all summed up in the name Sundara. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. There's so many verses. In this, in expounding this name, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading from Srila Prabhupada's books, mostly from Srila Prabhupada's books. So quite a few names in Vishnu Sahasranam I've just done reading. And generally, listeners, from what I understand, they're not so much enlivened by just reading. They prefer to hear some spontaneous exposition. But those who are actually relishing topics of Krishna, they'll be very happy to hear the descriptions of Krishna from Shastra as given to us by the Acharya of the whole world, who wants the whole world to know about Krishna. I am, of course, referring to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Now, before I get into a discussion of the beauty of Krishna, let us just remember that Parashara Bhatta is commenting on this series of names in which Sundara comes to explain about, or he says that the names particularly pertain to Buddha avatar. And from the names that we've had previously, it's not difficult to guess how Parashara Bhatta, he explains that Sundara, beautiful, in this context, means that the beauty of Buddhadev was appreciated by the Asuras. And this was another way by which Sutantu, he spread a net to attract them into his web by which he bound them up. Building on this description, Sri Vedanta Deshika says that Buddhadev had a captivating form that captivated, impressed, and attracted a large following. And we see even up to the present day in traditional Buddhist countries, Thailand, Sri Lanka, these are two traditional Buddhist countries that I have spent time in this lifetime. Most people, most Buddhists, they like to go to Burma is another place I used to go to. They like to go to the pagoda or the Wat, or whatever they call their temple in their language, and bow down before the form of Buddha, the attractive form of Buddha. Not Buddha's teachings to do that, but he attracted his followers to do so. And actually they get great benefit from doing so, even though it's not his teaching to do so. Here's a little comment that I made myself, going away from the discussion of Buddha avatar, the description of Krishna. We've been having names like Durariha. That's also, Parashara Bhatta explained that in terms of Buddhadev. So who kills the very difficult demons. So Krishna, he attacks and kills the demons. Yes, he attacks and kills the demons. And how do we relate that name, Sundara, to that? Well, even his enemies could appreciate his beauty, but he figuratively attacks his devotees with a massive attack of happiness by seeing his beauty. And what happens, then they have as if a heart attack. The devotees become overwhelmed. They can't think what they're doing. They're stumbling here and there. But it's a heart. Krishna gives a heart attack to his devotees by his beauty. Means their heart is completely overwhelmed in bliss. There's no pain in this heart attack. Sri Shankaracharya, who, in contrast to Parashara Bhatta, actually Parashara Bhatta came later, but if we compare their two commentaries on Vishnu Sahasranama, we see that Parashara Bhatta generally emphasizes the quality of Vishnu, of his bhakta-vatsalya, how he loves his devotees, how he's so kind. Whereas Sri Shankaracharya, he tends to emphasize in his interpretation of the names the greatness of Vishnu, the greatness, the power, the might, the majesty, the opulence. But in this name, Shankaracharya breaks down. I hope his followers don't become insulted if I use this term, because Mayavadis or the Advaitavadis are supposed to be very stiff and emotionless, but I'm saying that Shankara, he breaks down in ecstasy and admits that this name Sundara means he's very, very beautiful as his inherent and natural quality. And of course, I don't know the Tamil of the Divya Prabandhas composed by the Alvas, the Mani Pravala that they compose that in, but there are translations here, and we have quotes from several of the Alvas who they're just repeatedly saying they're astonished at his heart-captivating beauty, the heart-captivating beauty, the bewitching beauty of Sri Vishnu. Of course, that brings to mind Sri Ramanuja Acharya and Dhanudas. Dhanudas was very much captivated by his wife, so his wife was very beautiful. So Dhanudas, he would go out in public and shamelessly be fawning over his wife. And Ramanuja thought, well, that would be a good idea if he had that same kind of attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Ramanuja, seeing him on the street, in the holy place of Sri Rangam, and even in the company of Ramanuja with all his followers, he wasn't interested. He was only interested in his wife. So Ramanuja asked him, why are you so much... why so much attached to your wife? And it's a bit demeaning, isn't it, to even in public be so much fawning over your wife, holding an umbrella over her head and so many things to shelter from the sun. He said, her eyes, they're so beautiful, they're so beautiful. Ramanuja said, if I can show you eyes more beautiful than that, would you agree to worship that person instead of worshiping your wife? And Dhanudas said, yeah, but you won't find anyone. Ramanuja said, come with me. Took him to the temple and brought him into the presence of Sri Ranganatha Swami. And by the blessings of Sri Ramanuja, Dhanudas, who was absolutely materialistic and shamelessly enamored by the material beauty of his wife, was able to have the same kind of vision that Sri Ramanuja himself had, and he appreciated how beautiful are the eyes. There we get Sulochan. I'll have to say that when I come to Sulochan. How beautiful are his eyes. And then he changed and he became a devotee. Did he leave his wife? No. She became a great devotee also. Both of them together became great devotees and great servants of Ramanuja and very dear to him. Anyway, is its beauty, the beauty of the Supreme Lord. All the different Tirumangai Alva in his Pasurams, again and again, he just keeps on speaking in amazement and wonder about this indescribable beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And others also, one of them describes Tirumalishai Alva. I'm sorry, my Tamil pronunciation is obviously wrong. Says the beauty of Narasimhadev. Generally, we don't think of Narasimha as being particularly beautiful, but I must admit, I'm a conditioned soul. But the great devotees, they see, beauty that's bubbling and spilling over, because his beauty is so much that it just emanates rapidly from his form. And again, another one, Tiruparnalava in his Pasuram, describing the beauty of Lord Ranganatha, says, oh, what a beauty. In Sundara Kanda, the most popular section of the Ramayana, seems to be. When Hanuman finds Sita and describes, among the other things, he describes to her the beauty of Lord Ram, giving her hope. So Sita, she wants to test Hanuman to see that Hanuman is not some emissary of Ravana who's come pretending to be on Rama's side, but it's actually a trick to befool Sita into doing something which she doesn't want to do. So she asks Hanuman to describe Rama and Lakshman to her to find out if Hanuman is a genuine servant of Lord Ram. And she's thinking that if he is, then I'm going to hear, at last there's someone to talk to me about Ram and his beauty. So she asks, you describe, okay, you say you're coming from them. What do they look like? Anyone who sees Ram must be struck with his extraordinary beauty. So then Hanuman started describing, Vaidehi, princess of Videha, Ram has eyes. How are you going to describe it? Like lotus petals. Well, it's a rough description. What can you say? It's indescribable, but like lotus petals. Broad shoulders, mighty arms. His neck is shaped like a conch. His eyes are coppery and his voice deep like the sound of a kettle drum. He's very solid and firm in three places, in his breast, his wrist, which he uses for his bow, and his fist. He is elevated in three places, his chest, the rim of his navel, and his abdomen. He is reddish in three places, his eyes, his nails, and his palms, and the soles of his feet. So his eyes, his hands, nails and palms, and the soles of his feet. Very deep voice, that's said again. His navel is deep, and he walks swiftly. Previously, we had a description of the chaturgati, the four kinds of gaits or types of movement that are seen in Lord Rama. Three folds of skin on the neck and on the stomach. He's small in four places, in the neck, in the genitals, in the calves, and the back. Ah, and there we have again. He walks with four different gaits, like a lion, a tiger, an elephant, and a bull. Chaturgati. 10 places on his body are like a lotus. His complexion, his mouth, his eyes, tongue, lips, palate, breast, nails, hands, and feet. The eyes were mentioned at first because, after all, his name, Sulochan, Padmalochan, we don't generally talk so much. Well, there are names also like Padmapani, lotus hand, but his eyes. He is fine in four places. His bodily hair, unlike in English, in English we say hair for the bodily hair and for the hair which grows on the head. But in Sanskrit there are different words. And in English we have different words for the fingers and for the toes. But in Indian languages they're both the same word. So his bodily hair is fine, his skin is fine, his finger joints are fine, and his perception, very fine. Baladev Vidyabhushan similarly says that he's called beautiful because of the beauty of his limbs, his bodily form. So that makes it completely synonymous with the name Svanga, which we had before. So what do we say? It's unrivaled beauty. In the Vedic theistic understanding, God, theism means God, God is described or understood as a person having the most enchanting beauty and sweetness. His beauty, his sweetness, his love, his mercy, these are the qualities which are emphasized as the predominant qualities of God in Vedic theism, which means Vaishnavism. Whereas in other systems of theism, Abrahamic systems, his power is emphasized, or his infinitude, that he's great and he's infinite, but Vedic theism means to know the supreme personality of Godhead. And what is it about his personality that is so great? He's great, he's powerful, he's Udbhava, he's the creator, but his beauty, his sweetness, his love, his mercy. There are practically unlimited verses in the Vaishnava literature, both from Puranas, from Ramayana, describing the beauty of Vishnu, of Krishna, and then so many other verses, which are also Vedic verses, which are composed by devotees in their own realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, describing his beauty. When we think of beauty, what do we think of? Well, we see beauty in this world, and undoubtedly there are many beautiful things in this world. Even in this very bad time in which we live, if you live in the city, it's what will you see that's beautiful? It's hard to find anything beautiful. Maybe you can see on the wallpaper of your windows. They have photos of Sedona or something in Arizona, but it's only the wallpaper on your computer. But there are so many beautiful things in nature. There is beauty in the world. News at the moment in India, as I'm speaking this, Miss Universe or something, is an Indian young woman. She's beautiful. She must be. There's a difference between her and the average woman. She's beautiful. So that's one kind of beauty. The beauty of nature, the beauty of a sunset, the beauty of a rain cloud. If we are thoughtful, we will think, what is the source of that beauty? And then we come to understand that all things beautiful in this world, they come from one source. And all that beauty in the material world, it's simply a reflection of a tiny little bit of the unlimited beauty who we can say exists in Krishna or is Krishna, because his qualities are non-different from him. There's so much poetry describing beauty. Truth is beauty and beauty is truth. John Keats, English poet. But what is beauty? They're all missing the point. The real beauty is Krishna. And impersonalists, they also miss the whole point of their spiritual endeavors. They try so hard for spiritual advancement, but they're so unfortunate because anadrita yushmadangraha. They don't take interest in Krishna. They try so hard for spiritual advancement, but they just don't want to recognize the beauty of Krishna. Just some bad propensity, which is why even a devotee who's not very expert in controlling the senses, who doesn't undertake difficult austerities, but just by his little feeling, he sees the beauty of Krishna and is attracted. Oh, how nice is Krishna. And then he's in a better position than the impersonalists who undertake so much difficulty. And therefore Krishna comes to this world to show himself. And therefore, we have, there's a name coming up quite some way up. Gunabrit, one who has all qualities, that Atma Ramas Chamunayoni Granta Apya Urukrame Kurvantya Haitu King Bhaktim Itam Bhuta Gunoharehe. That even those who are spiritually realized in the impersonal system, they also become attracted to the qualities of Krishna. And we see that impersonalists, they also become attracted to the beauty of Krishna. But they have to give up that very bad idea that they can become or are Krishna, and then they can really appreciate the beauty of Krishna. All right, I said I'd be reading from various extracts from Shastra, from comments. Here is from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, verses 6 and 7. And here we have it. It's right very near the beginning of the quite extensive 11th canto of Bhagavatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the reservoir of all beauty. All beautiful things emanate from him. And his personal form is so attractive that it steals the eyes away from all other objects, which then seem devoid of beauty in comparison to him. That's why it's very good for us to have pictures of Krishna, to go to the temple, let our crippled consciousness become attracted to the beauty of Krishna. Then we won't be attracted to anything else. When Lord Krishna was on the earth, he attracted the eyes of all people. When Krishna spoke, his words attracted the minds of all who remembered them. By seeing the footsteps of Lord Krishna, people became attracted to him, and thus they wanted to offer their bodily activities to the Lord as his followers. In this way, Krishna very easily spread his glories, which are sung throughout the world by the most sublime and essential Vedic verses. Lord Krishna considered that simply by hearing and chanting those glories, conditioned souls born in the future would cross beyond the darkness of ignorance. So Krishna comes to this world and he is beautiful. Not only is he beautiful, but everything about him is attractive. Therefore, he's called Krishna. And Krishna comes to this world and he's so attractive that people want to go on glorifying him even after he's passed away. People are fascinated by him even after he's passed away. So Krishna, by coming, he doesn't just deliver the people at that time, but even in future. Srinvanti Gayanti Grananti Abhikshnasa Srinvanti Gayanti Tavehitang Janaha Ta Eva Pashyantya Chirena Tavakam Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padam Padam. All right, this is from the prayers of Queen Kunti. She says, O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So Krishna, he is beautiful in Vaikuntha, one name of Lakshmi, Vaikuntha Sundari. She is the beautiful one in Vaikuntha, and Krishna, Vaikuntha Sundara, Vraja Sundara, he's very beautiful, but he comes in, he's very beautiful in Vraja, he's the beautiful male in Vraja, but he comes to this world so we can see him. So his beauty, his love, his mercy, his attraction, his mercy, it's all interlinked. We're especially talking about his beauty here. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to the first canto, chapter 16, verses 26 to 30. Sometimes there's some idea that Srila Prabhupada, he just gives all that dry philosophy, but there's a lot. If you want nectar, it's all nectar, but very thick, concentrated nectar. Just like this, I'm going to read it. As far as the beauty of the Lord is concerned, he has some special features that distinguish him from all other living beings. And over and above that, he has some special, attractive, beautiful features by which he attracts the mind of even Radharani, the supermost beautiful creation of the Lord. He is known, therefore, as Madan Mohan, or one who attracts the mind of even Cupid. So with all due to respect to the young woman from Chandigarh who won the Miss Universe contest, and with all respect to all those who are cheering, an Indian won the Miss Universe contest. Well, you're nowhere near the beauty of Krishna. Better you bow down to Krishna. Recognize he is the source of all beauty, even that beauty which is the beauty of skin and flesh appears to be beautiful. That's only because it is a perverted reflection of a tiny drop of a drop of the beauty of Krishna. Now, sometimes there is an accusation that Krishna is very lusty. He's after beautiful women. Okay, what are you going to say about that? It seems hard to deny, doesn't it? I'm going to read an extract from a talk that Srila Prabhupada gave on the 16th of February, 1976. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna, he's not after beauty, but beauty is after him. That is Krishna. Not that Krishna is after beauty. The materialistic persons think that Krishna was so fond of beautiful women. No, that is not the fact. The beautiful women were after Krishna. That is Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Kandarpa. Kandarpa means Cupid. We have heard the name of Cupid. Very beautiful, attractive. But he, Krishna, is Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Krishna does not want any beauty for his satisfaction. He's self-satisfied. But devotees, beautiful devotees, rich devotees, aristocratic devotees, perfect devotees, they are after him. In other words, devotees may have beauty, they may have wealth, they may have aristocracy, they may be perfect in their devotion, but for all their qualifications, they're after Krishna. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada continues, he's self-satisfied. He doesn't require anything. Just like when these foolish people read Srimad Bhagavatam and it is said that Krishna had 16,000 wives, queens, so they think that an ordinary man, one who keeps more than one wife, is considered to be very lusty. No, that is not the fact. These 16,000 wives, how did they become wives? How did they become wives? Well, they prayed to Krishna to come and get them. Here's another quote from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, his writings. The absolute beauty of Krishna is sung in praises by great sages who incarnate themselves as cowherd girls, gopis, in order... it's not from Srila Prabhupada's writings. Krishna's beauty is absolute. It's on the spiritual platform. And it's sung in praises by great self-controlled sages, holy men. They pray and to take birth as cowherd girls, as gopis, to appreciate his beauty all the more. That's stated in Garga Samhita, I believe it is, the Rishi Chari gopis, the rishis in the forest seeing Lord Ram, they were transcendently attracted by his beauty. They wanted to have a relationship with him so that they could appreciate his beauty more and more. And later they took birth to be gopis in the forest of Vrindavan so that they could appreciate the beauty of Krishna in the mood of themselves being beautiful young girls. This is very high theology. Krishna's supreme original form is seen not on a throne in Vaikuntha, but in the forest of Vrindavan. A youth appearing about 16 years of age, he descended on this earth. He is all love, the embodiment of love, completely spiritual. There's nothing material about him. And he attracts not just women, but men and all living creatures, even non-living creatures. Even stones become melted by hearing the sound of his flute.